Next time you're enjoying brunch with friends, glance toward the kitchen. Who's back there, sweating over your eggs Benedict? Who's serving your mimosa while battling the flu because they can't afford to miss a shift? Most of us have never thought twice about the invisible workforce that makes our dining experiences possible. We obsess over whether our chicken is free-range and our lettuce is organic, yet remain blissfully unaware of whether the person who prepared it can afford to eat that same meal themselves. This disconnect reveals something uncomfortable about how we consume. We've built an entire movement around sustainable food while ignoring the unsustainable conditions of the people who grow, cook, and serve it. What happens when we finally peek behind the kitchen door? September 11, 2001 didn't just change America's sense of security, it exposed a hidden crisis in plain sight. 73 restaurant workers died that morning at Windows on the World, the iconic restaurant perched atop the World Trade Center. Most were immigrant kitchen staff preparing for a morning event, people whose names never made headlines. When the restaurant's owner opened a new establishment months later, he refused to rehire the survivors, claiming they weren't experienced enough for his new venture. The cruelty was staggering. These workers had lost colleagues, livelihoods, and now faced rejection from the very company they'd devoted years to serving. This betrayal sparked something unexpected. Saru Jayaram, asked to help these displaced workers, partnered with Vikak Mamdu, a former Windows headwaiter, to co-found the Restaurant Opportunity Center. Their first move was bold, organizing a protest on opening night at the owner's new restaurant. The publicity pressure worked, and suddenly restaurant workers throughout New York City were seeking ROC's help with problems they'd long suffered in silence. When Jayaraman and Mamdu visited Italian family farms in 2007, studying the slow food movement, they discovered American sustainability ignored workers entirely. Daniel's story exposed this blind spot. Despite growing up on a chemical-free Ecuadorian farm and developing skills in New York restaurants, he faced relentless abuse at Mario Batali's Del Posto. European staff were favored, while Latina workers endured racist insults, thrown plates, and public humiliation from supervisor Captain Jack, who grabbed and shook workers while shouting slurs. The hypocrisy was stunning. While promoting sustainability to diners, management skimmed tips and lied about organic ingredients. After Daniel contacted ROC, 30 co-workers organized demonstrations and filed a federal lawsuit. Their victory was spectacular. Over $1 million in stolen wages recovered, promotions for Latino workers, transparent policies, and the abusive chef fired. Batali's company even joined ROC's Restaurant Industry Roundtable. This campaign redefined sustainable food to include fair labor, because food cannot be sustainable when prepared through exploitation. Would you want someone with the flu preparing your Caesar salad? It happens constantly. Restaurant workers come to work sick because they can't afford unpaid days off. One Detroit fast food worker described working with severe cold, cough, and fever despite handling food. When she asked to leave, her manager laughed and told her to try not to cough. The CDC estimates 1 in 6 Americans suffers from food poisoning annually, with 3,000 deaths directly connected to poor working conditions. Thomas's story exemplifies this reality. After going unpaid for months, he lived in his restaurant's attic. His manager asked him to prepare spoiled, slimy salmon because vendors wouldn't deliver fresh ingredients due to unpaid bills. Over 42% of workers surveyed reported being forced to do something risking customer health due to time pressure. The restaurant industry ranks third highest for non-fatal occupational injuries, with nearly 200,000 reported accidents yearly. With 76% reporting understaffing and 90% lacking paid sick days, two-thirds prepare food while ill. Evidence shows paid sick days work. San Francisco saw disease outbreaks drop from 18 to 4 after implementing citywide paid sick leave. The federal tipped minimum wage has been frozen at $2.13 per hour since 1991. Restaurant workers hold 7 of the 10 lowest-paying U.S. occupations, with median wages of just $9.02 per hour, including tips, leaving a family of 4 below the poverty line. Claudia, a Mexican immigrant attending high school in Texas, earned $2.13 hourly at a national pancake chain. Her manager instructed her to falsely report earning minimum wage. As the only Latina server, she faced systematic discrimination. White servers got lucrative banquets, while managers forced her to report inflated tips. She clocked out before completing side work, working hours unpaid. Most degradingly, managers made her translate their abusive comments to Latino kitchen staff. Earning only $150 to $200 weekly, Claudia couldn't afford gas, car payments, or school expenses. Perpetually hungry, she survived on employee pancake meals and occasionally flirted with Mexican cooks for food. "I would put on makeup and make jokes that only Mexicans would know. I was really hungry." The breaking point came when she paid $98 for customers who walked out, working an 11-hour overnight shift for negative pay. Food service workers use food stamps at nearly double the rate of other U.S. workers. Taxpayers subsidize the restaurant industry's poverty wages. Yet 7 states have eliminated the separate tipped minimum wage entirely, requiring all workers receive standard minimum wage regardless of tips. Walk into most upscale restaurants and you'll notice a pattern. Servers and bartenders are overwhelmingly white, while bussers, runners, and kitchen staff are predominantly people of color. This isn't coincidence. It's systematic segregation. Oscar experienced this in Miami. Despite excelling as a busser with customers praising his service, he was repeatedly denied promotion to waiter. The restaurant instead hired inexperienced white workers who had the right look, while Oscar and other workers of color remained bussers earning 1/4 of server wages. At Capitol Grille Steakhouse, workers literally got darker from front to back of house. France, a Haitian dishwasher earning under $10 an hour, was blocked from busser positions despite his experience. The numbers confirm this pattern. White workers earn $14 per hour median wages, while people of color earn $9.88 per hour, with 96% of sub-minimum wage workers being people of color. A 3-year ROC study sent 400 paired testers, identical qualifications, different races, to New York fine dining restaurants. White applicants were twice as likely to obtain living wage positions, while workers of color faced 3 times more questioning about their qualifications. In 2006, the New York Post exposed rampant sexual harassment in restaurant kitchens. Women chefs reported disturbing incidents, sous chefs following them into locker rooms, being nicknamed whore, forced to smear egg on their chests, and threatened with career destruction for protesting. Reality TV normalized this abuse, with celebrity chefs like Gordon Ramsay boasting about telling women to "get your boobs off my hot plate." Alicia's culinary internship revealed this toxic reality: physical fights, sabotaged prep work, and gender segregation. Among 20 staff, only 3 were women, relegated to easier pastry positions with lower pay and no advancement. When her protective supervisor was promoted, the executive chef offered Alicia the position at $45,000, $15,000 less than her supervisor earned. Rock research reveals 4 factors driving gender wage inequality. Women comprise 66% of tipped workers paid $2.13 an hour, but only 48% of non-tipped workers. Women work in casual restaurants rather than fine dining. Women hold lower-paying positions, and women earn less in identical roles. Waitresses make 85 cents per dollar waiters earn, a $70 weekly difference affecting childcare and rent. This inequality traps over 1 million female workers in poverty. 12 years after 9/11, the movement born from Windows on the World survivors has grown into a national organization with 10,000-plus members across 20 states. They've won 11 campaigns against exploitation, recovered over $6 million in stolen wages, opened worker-owned restaurants, and influenced policy at all government levels. Sibby's journey embodies this transformation. The African immigrant and Windows on the World chef survived 9/11 through a shift swap that cost his best friend Karim his life. After driving a taxi while grieving, Sibby returned to ROC as a powerful organizer, conducting over 1,000 surveys and helping open Colors Restaurant, By 2008, he became co-director of ROC New York. If low-wage workers can create this change, consumers can too. Every meal is a vote for how workers are treated. Use ROC's National Diner's Guide to support restaurants with good labor practices. Speak with workers about their conditions. Fight to raise the $2.13 federal minimum wage. Behind every dish is a person with dreams, bills, and family. They deserve dignity, fair wages, and safe conditions, not just your tip. We've built a movement around knowing where our food comes from. Isn't it time we cared as much about who prepares it?